All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. 8 o'clock, hour number two, coming your way. Right here, Tuesday, June 28th.
Dealer of the year. What does that mean to you? Well, I know what it means to Bill Smith Buick GMC. It's that they have another trophy to put on their mantle. That's right. That's three Dealer of the Year trophies in the last 18 months. It's ridiculous when you think about it. They won GMC's Dealer of the Year, not once but twice, and they've just added Buick's Dealer of the Year, and they're just a short drive up I-65 to Coleman. You'd be there in no time. And you go see my friends Andy Cole and Jonathan Yeager. They'll take great care of you. I know they will, because they took great care of me. I bought my most recent truck there, and I'm telling you, man, I had a tremendous experience. It delivered it right to my driveway. They brought it, dropped it off, signed a couple pieces of paper. They picked up my old truck, and I was on my merry way. It's deals like that. It's relationships like that that keep people coming back. That's why 75% of their business is repeat customers. It's because you have an incredible experience when you shop with Bill Smith. Go grab yourself a Sierra right now, the crew cab four-wheel drive truck, or the GMC Acadia SUV. Both are loaded with options. Both are discounted more than $5,000 off the sticker price. There's no premium markups with Bill Smith, just the best discounts, the best selection, and the best customer service. So go take a short drive up I-65 at Coleman, or you can shop online at BillSmithBuickGMC.com.
All right, a lot to get to from a college football perspective. I did see, and we didn't spend a ton of time on this yesterday, GMAC, that Matthew Wolf heading to the LIV Tour, just 23 years old. Hadn't been playing great golf, but he's going to go.
I'd say probably good for him to go.
Yeah. your thoughts, though, on Eugenio Chicara from Spain, the number two amateur in the world. I don't know a ton about him. I don't know a lot about him, but I think it's got to be a good get to go grab somebody who's young, who's up and coming, who maybe has a bright future, and then obviously, you know, maybe brings a little bit of a different audience as well. Does that one sort of move the needle for you at all?
I don't know him, but it's one of the first guys that decided to basically just go right out of college. You know, I mean, I guess it's college. He's an amateur, right?
So
a big time player with 30 years of career left in front of him. So yeah, I think it's significant. And we've talked about this already with LIV. I think it's really smart of the LIV Tour to really prioritize having diversity when it comes to the nationalities that are represented. So when you go to a LIV event, they have flags from countries all over the world. I think that indicates, you know, trying to create a diverse field, and it will attract more eyeballs from people all over the country that want to watch their countrymen competing on the stage that is alongside some of the biggest names of the world.
All right, so no Big 12 teams on Tennessee's schedule this upcoming season, and we've mentioned a couple other of the teams that are heading into the Big 12 in the last week or so, and we've been previewing this upcoming college football season. Now, multiple sources are saying that the Big 12 is targeting Brett Yormark. Now, I don't know if anybody's familiar with this name to become the next commissioner of the Big 12. 55 years old. Previously has been an executive with the Brooklyn Nets and with NASCAR. He also is currently the COO of Jay-Z's Roc Nation sports agency. Now, we know right off the bat that GMAC thinks that Jay-Z is overrated.
Okay,
which is almost
I think
as bad
his
of a
music's
take
overrated. I think he's a tremendous businessman.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
He is.
I actually think you have the backwards. But,
okay. 99 Problems was a great song.
Yeah, it's a banger.
Big Pimpin'.
It's a banger.
Big Pimpin'.
It's a banger.
It was really good. Song and video.
Oh, so those songs are elite.
They are.
Holy Grail.
Keep going. It's up there. Hadn't heard a miss yet.
I've got three. When your wife is 100 times better musician than you, that's saying something.
It's debatable. She can sing better than him, but as far as they got into a versus battle, he held his own way.
How many hits?
Yeah, plenty.
Fine. That's like saying Dre's a great artist too. He's a great producer. Yeah, but great artist, huh?
It's understandable.
Haters.
Okay. All right. Yes, you are.
Beyonce. Bae. Love you, Bae.
Are you really a big Beyonce fan?
No, but I just think she has more hits than Jay-Z.
I just don't think it's debatable.
Saying she doesn't?
Like I said, it's debatable.
How do we check quantify the tape. Hits, I guess, would be the question.
Check the tape. I don't know.
Whew, Beyonce sold over 200 million records.
That'll do it. That's a whole heap.
Over 50 million for Jay-Z.
Last time I checked, Beyonce headlined a halftime show. What did Jay-Z do?
He actually turned it down.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. When was that?
I don't know.
L.A.?
No, I think it was Atlanta.
No, we did not turn down.
Yeah, well, because if you remember Atlanta, they kind of it was a little bit of a stretch there with the old Travis Scott. We're gonna have to skip over every three words of your performance.
It became instrumental for a period of time.
What Super Bowl was that? I honestly don't remember this.
Rams and
Patriots. We've already covered this. I don't know Roman numerals.
Rams so Patriots.
Yeah, help you with that.
This the latest one. Rams Patriots golfing.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that was in Atlanta.
Big boy and Sleepy Floyd rolling out there.
Sleepy Floyd.
I honestly don't remember that Super Bowl. That Super Bowl was the boringest Super Bowl of all time.
It was up there.
It was so bad.
It's up there. Even with the Peyton Manning beatdown, it was up there.
At least the Peyton Manning beatdown, you were just shocked because there was a safety on the first offense.
Right, right. Yeah, so like, you didn't know what to expect.
It's like, oh my gosh, how did that happen? At least that game had provided you with something you've never seen before. Watching a snooze fest that was final score, I think like 14-3, left a little something to be desired.
Okay, Beyonce, 40 million pure albums sold, which Jay-Z, over 50 million pure albums sold. Timing will be a little bit different on that. She's the second best-selling digital singles artist of all time. I don't even know how to quantify.
Sold. Basically, she's new. She's young. digital. It's all digital. Everything's going to digital now.
I'm trying to see how many Grammys Beyonce has, because Jay-Z has 23.
What did he win for?
Being good.
Yeah, gotcha.
being great. That's what he got
for. Being the best. Mm-hmm. All right, so that being said, Brett Yormark, I've never heard of this guy. I don't know who he is. But similar to what the Pac-12 did, I think it's an interesting direction that the Big 12 looks like that they're going to go. And I'm actually okay with not bringing in, let's say, groupthink or similar thought, because let's be real, GMAC, especially like we talked about the Pac-12, not necessarily knowing where things are going, what's going to happen with their network. You needed sort of a new age thinker, somebody who could find different avenues to be able to pull in new revenue streams. We have no idea what's going to happen with the Big 12.
Yeah.
You're a Power 5 conference right now. That's not guaranteed.
No.
And most of us don't think that that's just going to stay that way anyway. I think a guy who, and we had Ryan McGee on specifically just to talk about this, how college football seems to be going in a very similar direction to what NASCAR did a little over a decade ago. So you got a guy who was there, had a front seat for it, and somebody who has now been in the agency world, well, with NIL, it seems like there's a lot of value there, and somebody who's been around different entities that have done well, maybe made some mistakes, maybe tried some things that didn't work. So I actually appreciate the Big 12 sort of thinking outside the box here, probably because we can talk about experience, and experience is great in everything. I mean, you can't just go hop on the radio one day. You can't just go call a game on TV one day. You got to build that up. You know, I couldn't go out right now and perform an ACL reconstruction like Jeff Dugas or Lyle Kane can. I mean, you have to have experience to do everything in life. But when you don't know what your path is, how much does experience really matter? Well, and we don't know exactly where the Big 12 is headed.
I don't like the idea of people saying that NASCAR and college football are in the line. That's fine that Ryan McGee feels that way, but nobody watches NASCAR like people watch college football. It's not even close. NASCAR is ultimate niche sport. It's always lacked in popularity when it comes to big cities. Like, NASCAR and college football are not similar. People love to make that comparison. Oh, well, they're going down the same path. Yeah, except NASCAR appealed to an audience that aligned exclusively with Southern culture. Like, it doesn't, like, college football transcends NASCAR from a popularity standpoint, and it's not even close. So that's fine that Ryan McGee feels that way. It's fine that other people have made those comparisons and aligned and created those parallels, but it's apples and oranges. It's the biggest sport in our country. It's the second biggest sport. It's the biggest. Football is the biggest sport in our country. It's the second biggest sport in our country being college football. So NFL's one, college football's two. NASCAR was never even on the radar. It might have been top 10, maybe. Probably not. Right around, you know, 7 or 8 at its best. I mean, I don't know. Where would NASCAR have fallen for you? Is it up there with tennis?
Well, no, not
like,
for me.
Is it up there with golf? I mean prior to Tiger Woods, NASCAR is not even as popular as golf.
Well, let me go back and just state, like, from my perspective, the reason that I think that that's an interesting conversation is that, not that they ever aligned in popularity, but I think that there are similarities in direction, and that I think NASCAR at one point in time, and like I love the quote that Ryan dropped on our show. He said the biggest mistake that NASCAR made was they never thought that they would lose a portion of their core audience. And then they tried to expand the way that they did, and they ended up losing some of those people. That's where I'm afraid college football is headed. And I have a fear that college football is going to do so much different, be so different, try to move so fast towards all these new things that there will be a portion. Because here's the thing. Me, you, Damian, Landrum, Pat, Matt McLaren, I'm not talking to those. I'm not talking to that group of people. I'm not talking to Ryan Haney. I'm not talking to the folks who call our show every day that are going to watch, you know, Akron and Toledo on a Tuesday night at 6:30 because it's college football. Like, we're probably staying no matter what. But the group of folks just below us, like just a notch below us, there are some things, there is a small direction in certain areas that college football is headed that there will be people that walk away. And they're going to say, you know what, if these kids can't, if they're not going to stay, I'm gone. If NIL is going to take over and it's going to be just pay for play, then I don't want to be a part of that anymore. That's what we're facing. People are already saying that. So I don't ever think that it was just like NASCAR, college football, neck and neck, or that they operated exactly the same way. I just think there are some similarities, which some folks came into NASCAR when it was what you just stated. It was a regionally dominated sport, and the majority of people in that region loved it or watched it or at least knew about it, knew what it was. When it was Earnhardt, Gordon, and even a little bit before that, when, you know, the Allisons were dominating, that part, you know, to tail end of Richard Petty, the tail end of that, right in there, and then all of a sudden, here comes corporate America, and they swoop in and try to make it this national sport, and some of the diehards said, you know what, man, this is not what we fell in love with. So I have a fear that there's going to be a portion of our core audience in college football that's going to say, I didn't fall in love with this. It's not what I signed up for. I fell in love with something that I feel like was totally different. So when I make that correlation, that's kind of where I go. I think Ryan takes it a little bit of a step further, but that's kind of why I sort of make that comparison there, because I think we look at it and we don't think, I think the powers that be, Greg, they don't believe that the college football diehards will ever leave. I believe that they believe that. And I also believe that if you keep messing with it to a certain extent, some of those diehards will walk away. I won't. I've had this conversation with the NFL when I was on in Huntsville. The people who are listening on the Ump right now have heard me have this conversation. I've said this 1,000 times. You would have to like publicly degrade my wife and children for me to stop watching the NFL, and I'd probably still sneak off to watch it, honestly. Like, if I could still go watch a Steelers-Ravens game somewhere, like on my iPad, you know, hidden in a closet in my room, in my house somewhere, and nobody knew about it, I'd be like, man, I just want to see what the hell happens in this game. Like, can I just watch like a quarter? I just want to see a drive. Like, I'm going to watch the NFL because I fell in love with it at a young age, and it was hammered into me at a young age that we're going to watch the Steelers every Sunday. We're going to have our terrible towels. That's what we're going to do. So I'm not walking away from that. I don't care what happens before the game. I don't care what the players say, what they tweet. I love football. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to consume it. But my fear is that and there were a lot of people that said that about NASCAR. I'm going to be a Dega. I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my guy. I'm going to watch three turn left. And there are a lot of those guys that, because of where it began to go, for whatever different reasons, said, you know what? Hell with this, man. I didn't sign up for it. I'm not watching it anymore. I'll find something else to watch or something else to do with my disposable income. So that's kind of where I go with that. And I agree with you that it's never been as popular, but it's the directional portion of what scares me a little bit.
Well, I think the biggest thing that could hurt college football is the fan attendance. That's my biggest fear. I'm not worried about the, you know, popularity being mainstream. I'm not worried about the television numbers. But the audience and the chaos that you get watching a college football game and the environment that can be captured on television improves the viewership significantly. Look at numbers during COVID. And granted, a lot of people were watching, and you know, as a presidential election year, you're always going to have down numbers and things like that. And a lot of people are going to be consumed by the coverage of the election and the polarizing nature of the coverage on the election. That year in particular was, you know, it was different. It was very different from that of what we're used to. But I think you take people out of the stands, that's going to have an impact on people's love of the game. So that would be my biggest fear. NASCAR, I think it's unwatchable. It's boring. I think a lot of people, self-included, like I lived in Charlotte and tried to get into it. Actually had Dale Earnhardt Jr. respond to a tweet of mine saying, man, I'm trying to watch this. I'm trying to appreciate it. I live in Charlotte in the heart of NASCAR country. I want to be into it, but I can't, I don't understand. I don't understand the techniques. I don't understand. I know that there's this really interesting, like, scientific approach to this, but I just don't understand it. I don't get it. I need someone to walk me through it. And NASCAR tweeted at me, Dale Jr. tweeted at me, like, come to a show, we'll get you, we'll explain it to you. I'm like, no, you won't.
He, like, feels your pain, though. He's a Redskins fan, so he understands.
Well, I'm just saying,
something,
like,
something is unwatchable.
Commanders.
NASCAR really is unwatchable. They turn left over and over and over again. I know that there's a strategy to it. I get it. And if someone were to explain to me the strategy, maybe I'd appreciate it. But guess what? I stand, like most Americans, as viewing NASCAR as unwatchable. Look at the numbers that would suggest that their biggest event, Daytona, which is big, I get it, it's big, the numbers are embarrassingly bad, relatively speaking.
We all had those sports, though. Like,
but football's not that.
No, it's not at all.
Not even close.
I agree with you.
So, like, that's why NASCAR and college football will never be the same. Like, I understand what you're saying. I can understand the parallels, but I don't think it's ever going to be the same. Will we lose some of our coordinates? Sure, but, like, it's still football. Like, unless football goes belly up, right. I don't see it.
Might lose. I'm not saying definitely will lose, but might lose. And I mean, I'm in a similar place with hockey. You and I have had this conversation. I've tried. Shoot more, score more. I don't understand. Shoot the puck on the goal 100 more times a game. Why? Just shoot the puck on the goal. My brain can't comprehend it. Timothy wants to join in on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome into the show, Tim.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, once again, as usual, McElroy's wrong. I grew up
diehard,
you know. Love college football. I can't think of any other sport that I love more than college football. I watched 3 games last year. It's basically just NFL without the salary cap now. And if you're not going to go to school and be loyal to the school and be part of a team, and you know, you're more worried about where that you're going to get paid, I'm out.
But Timothy, let me stop. I want to stop. Timothy, I want to ask you a very fair question. If the football portion is what you loved, how is that so much different now? Like, what? I honestly want to know. Like, what part of the football aspect has driven you away?
It seems corporate America to me now. You know, it seems like, you know, the kids are getting paid. You know, I don't know. It just seems different to me. I mean, and I'm not the only one. I mean, I work in a very large, you know, corporation, and I can tell you that it's not half or anything like that, but there's, you know, there's 10-20% of the people that we talk to on a daily basis that are like, yeah, I watched 3 or 4 games last year. Now,
well, what 3 or 4 games did you watch? Explain to me that.
Iron Bowl, right?
Okay, so that's a big game. All right, go ahead. Keep going.
And I watched the national championship game, and I know there was one more in there. I think I watched like an Ole Miss something, maybe a some kind of game because of Kiffin, right? I just wanted to see what was going on there, and he's always fun to watch.
But you're not. But do you think part of that has to do with the fact that none of the Alabama games are competitive? If you didn't know the outcome before it started, would you be as into it?
No, because 5 years ago I was staying up and watching that Pac-12 game at, you know, I come home from going out to eat on
Pac-12 after dark and action on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Which I love. Yeah, I love both those.
I still love college football, right? I still love college football, but I don't watch golf anymore after Tiger Woods either.
I'm with you there. So explain to me, what do you do on Saturdays What do you do on Saturdays if you're not watching college football? What's changed?
We've been doing a lot of other things. Yeah, man, we've been going, you know, hiking. We've been going to the park. We've been going fishing. We've been going boating. And I remember last year we were at the lake and someone said something about a game and I'm like, oh, that game was, the LSU whatever game was today. Wow. Okay. I had a friend of mine text me. The guy lives in Iowa and he texted me about it was something, an SEC game, you know, like a Auburn LSU or Alabama Tennessee game. And I was like, oh, I didn't know. You know,
that is wild.
I had that like, oh,
I think you are in the crazy minority. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying, I think you are very much in the minority. And I think that part of what Hear me out for a second.
I think you're in a sports world and I think you talk it all the time and you're not really in a day-to-day basis. I can just tell you that the passion for college sports is still there, but you're never going to, once it went this road of NIL, you're never going to have the same people again.
Perhaps not. I think there will be some people that are very turned off by it. I get that completely. I think there will be people turned off by it. I still think people will support their school. I think that when you described the fact that you watched three or four games, part of that is because there are three or four games that are potentially losable. If you don't know the outcome beforehand, I think there's a lot more likely possibility that you're going to tune in. Like Alabama runs the table almost every year, and most of the games are not competitive. And for a lot of people, that becomes unwatchable. And the monotony of understanding what's going to happen becomes boring. I think if your team, if every single game was a toss-up, or if every game was a big game, you might feel a little differently.
Yeah, so I was going to follow up with you, Greg, and ask how much of that.
Yeah, hey, guys, y'all have a great day.
You too, buddy.
Thanks, Timothy. I appreciate the call. Really good stuff, and we appreciate different insight. How much of that big picture do you think is responsible for that too, where outside of maybe Ohio State, another big game, maybe it would, you know, what Michigan did last year, Michigan State.
Right.
You know, Timothy might feel like he needs to watch a Texas game or a Miami game, you know, outside of maybe Clemson and NC State or Miami or Georgia, Clemson, Georgia. He doesn't feel like he needs to watch any of those other games because all right, these will be the playoff teams. I want to hear from Hastings quickly before we go to break. Hastings, how you doing this morning?
Yeah, hey, guys. Great show. And I actually got to agree with both of you with this. I think you are going to lose some fans with this. I think you're going to lose some purists and some older generation that were used to the way that things used to be done. And that's okay because I think that you're actually going to gain another set of fans with this. I think it's a lot different than NASCAR to a certain extent because I agree with Greg. I think it is still football, and a lot more people are going to be behind the actual football aspect of it and the technique and the competition. How many times have we talked about going in and watching Wednesday night NAT games, the Pac-12 after dark? If you are a true purist and love sports, you love competition. And so these kids are still out there competing. The last caller made a point on, hey, well, I don't even watch college football anymore, even though I love football. No, you didn't love football. You love the idea of potentially a school. But if you love true football and athleticism and competition at its purest form, then you do watch these kids go out there and compete. And then you watch the NFL and these young men go compete. So I think it's got a way bigger following. And especially with the sports betting world coming up, people are going to take interest in these games. I'm personally going to watch all the Alabama games, all the Auburn games I can see. I'll watch Texas A&M, Arkansas. I will consume as much of it as I can to see what the competition level is like and actually learn stuff about these teams because it makes it fun to follow when you move on. So these individuals who are the purists, so they say, are really just an older generation or older mindset, in my opinion, that don't necessarily enjoy what the sport is turning into. There's always changes. There's changes in everything. With NASCAR, you have individuals who race, and yes, it's a competitive sport. I understand that. But with this, you've got such a deep following and such deep roots embedded in these schools and these schools' communities that I don't think you're going to be as affected as you would in the NASCAR sense because you've got a lot of purists out there who truly enjoy the competition. And now with the NIL numbers and then with the gambling and everything that's tied into it, yes, you may lose some of the older school fans who are in it just for the school and the sake of the passion and the tradition behind all the programs, but you're going to gain another set of fans. And if you truly care about the competition and that school, you're going to support them no matter what. So I think that's a very interesting take that Jim had. I'm not sure that I necessarily agree with it, but, you know, I appreciate him being able to voice his opinion. But I think you're actually not going to lose as many fans, and then you're also going to gain another following of fans moving forward for the pure sake of competition, and if you truly love that tradition with your school and your history. So I appreciate you guys taking my call. Great show today. Great stuff. Love to hear y'all keep going on this topic. This is really interesting, and look forward to talking to y'all soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Hastings. We're going to keep going with college football. Steve Wiltfong is at a competition now, the Elite 11, out in California. We'll talk to him about some of that NIL. Jaden Rashada, what's he really getting? Arch Manning, how big of a difference is it going to make at Texas? He'll be with us right after this on McElroy and Kubik in the morning. What is this?
It's Beyonce. Love on Top.
Sounds like a hit.
It is.
All of the...
absolute banger. Absolute banger.
If you missed it, and what's great about... That's why I love this show so much. Our original conversation began with Brett Yormark, the CEO of Roc Nation, maybe becoming the next commissioner of the Big 12. We went a lot of different directions with that. We talked about Beyonce, Jay-Z, comparing their careers. This is the song that you choose?
It's
of all the Beyonce
never heard the song?
It's one of the best.
I didn't say I never heard it, but I'm just saying of all
I love
the Beyonce
how you,
it's top
song,
five.
I love how you ignored, by the way, how many Grammy awards. You said, oh, Jay-Z's got 23 Grammy awards.
No, I said I couldn't find it. I said I couldn't find it.
You said he's got 23. Well, Beyonce's got 28. So
how many of those were a member of a group?
Do I care?
That's good.
First of all, if you think Destiny's Child had any Grammys, you're out.
Sounds like she's a product
Stop.
Of the system.
Don't be disrespectful.
Sounds like to me Destiny's Child got carried. What are those?
Sounds
what
like
are,
she's a system quarterback.
What's Left Eye Lopes doing now?
No. Please do not be disrespectful.
Oh, is she in TLC?
I don't know, but
thank
I don't
you.
Know, but
okay.
She
we talking about Kelly Rowland.
Okay.
Kelly Rowland, Michelle Williams.
The other ones on Destiny's Child. Kelly Rowland who?
Kelly Rowland and Michelle Williams.
And Michelle Williams. Michelle Williams, the actress?
They actually did make it to the Super Bowl halftime show.
Decent.
I think Beyonce
might have carried them right there.
That's like Kelly can hold her on.
That's like making
a
case.
Right
that's
there.
Like making a case right now for NSYNC and taking Justin Timberlake out of it. Oh, hey, no, dude, hey, NSYNC, Lance Bass and company, they were fire. No, they weren't. JT carried them.
Because I couldn't tell you another.
That's the only one I know, too.
That's the only
all
one
I said was that it was comparable. You made it sound like the two careers were totally different, and I said that it was comparable.
Well, yeah. You basically are saying Eazy-E created, you know, NWA. They didn't, I mean, come on. Like,
well, he actually did. He was
oh, did he?
Oh, everybody together.
Gotcha. And okay. Actually, this guy. Sounds good. It wasn't Dre at all. No, you're right. It's unbelievable.
As far as who put the group together, he was responsible. He wasn't the most talented guy in the group. And neither was Dre. Ice Cube was the most talented guy in the group.
Wow. So, fighting words.
Real words. But it's 8:33 a.m. right here, Tuesday, June 28th on WJOX 94.5. You can listen online, jocksfm.com.
And you need to give our friends at Wayne's a shout. They have been making my home comfortable and safe. I feel secure. When I'm here, when I'm gone, doesn't matter. I know that Wayne's has my back because they installed that smart pest technology, which basically alerts them that I have an intruder, whether it be a venomous spider or a rodent of some sort. They're going to take great care of me because they're going to proactively set up an appointment with me if, in fact, their smart pest proprietary technology lets them know that I have something in my house that's unwanted. Very, very exciting, this technology. It's basically a better mousetrap. They have it installed in my house, and you can get it installed in your house right now for the best deal that Wayne's has ever offered. $100 off. Sometimes it's $60, sometimes it's $75. No, it's $100 off the smart pest technology right now. If you call Wayne's, use offer code JOCKS at 866-WAYNES-1, or you can go online. Visit callwaynes.com. Let Wayne's create your happy place.
All right, so let's talk about something that might bring some more popularity back into college football. Not that we really believe that it needs a ton. Steve Wiltfong is going to join us now on the Bud Light Hotline, talk some recruiting. He's out in California for the Elite 11, where Jaden Rashada will be competing. But we want to start with Arch Manning, Steve, because I know you were kind of the guy on the ground there covering Arch, covering that recruitment, covering the decision Can you just take us into, you know, maybe the last couple of days, the last week or two before Arch made that decision to go to Texas? What was most involved? What was at the top of the list of the boxes that needed to be checked that finally led him to make the call that Texas would be where he was going to be playing his college football?
Well, I think, you know, talking to Arch, talking to his dad, and talking to his coach throughout the process, I don't think he ever held himself to a timetable for a decision. It was always going to be when he felt right. And so with that, you know, going into that wave of official visits where he went to Alabama and Georgia and Texas one more time in June for official visits, you know, coming out of it, that's four recruiting trips to each of those programs. I think he finally decided that he had enough information to make his decision. And so, you know, I think with Texas, he hit it off with Coach Sarkisian and AJ Milwee right away, you know, from the very first Zoom he had with Coach Sark a couple years ago. You know, those guys really connected, and I think he's always been excited by Coach Sark's offense, the way he calls plays, the way he's developed quarterbacks as of late. I think that was, you know, exciting, and then just on a personal level, really connected with that staff, and those are guys that he feels like he can have fun playing for. And then I think the other exciting component for him was that he wants to have just a great college experience, and I think the city of Austin was a place that he fell in love with, and I know his family really enjoyed taking visits to Austin as well. And so, you know, that he was the only quarterback that Texas recruited in the cycle. I never talked to another guy that said, hey, Texas, I'm keeping in touch with Texas, and they're waiting to see what happens with Arch, and they ended up cashing in and landing a commitment from him. And, you know, that kind of opened up the floodgates, and Texas has gotten on a roll here, and they're already up to number three in our recruiting rankings, you know, landing several commitments since Arch committed. You know, and obviously Arch Manning's big news, fellas, but I love the way that they continue to recruit on the offensive line. They've landed several more touted offensive linemen in this class. Landed the best offensive line class in the country last year. And it's been a long time since we've been able to point to Texas recruiting around the line of scrimmage and say they're doing a good job, but they're doing a damn good job recruiting offensive linemen right now to put in front of guys like Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers.
Steve Wiltfong is the director of recruiting for 247 Sports. He joins us on the Bud Light Hotline at SWiltfong247. You can follow him on Twitter. Great follow. I had a listener ask me, and I might not understand the context of this directly, Steve, but what it takes to be labeled as a perfect recruit or get a perfect grade as a recruit, which I believe that Arch has, and if I'm not mistaken, Quinn Ewers either had that or was very close to that as well. Can you just kind of take us into how that's decided and what it takes from a quarterback's perspective to actually garner that? Maybe even how many other guys have had that in recent memory?
Yeah, we should probably do a better job of explaining what the 24/7 Sports composite is, because that's just a mix of the four major services rankings into one. You have the 24/7 Sports rankings, of course, and then you have Rivals, and you have ESPN, and you have On3, so that's the four ranking services going into the 24/7 Sports composite algorithm. And Arch Manning ranks number one in all four ratings, so that's why he has the grade he has. Same with Quinn Ewers. If there's ever a time where there's a different number one, that'll impact the rating. So Trevor Lawrence didn't have a perfect score because ESPN ranked Justin Fields as the number one player that class, if I remember correctly.
So when you think about the Quinn Ewers versus Arch Manning debate, I mean, is this up in the air, or is Arch does not seem like the type that would decommit and adjust and move and change? It feels like he's going to Texas no matter what, but if Quinn Ewers lights it up this year and he's locked down the position, how could that potentially affect Arch down the road?
Well, I think that, you know, obviously Arch wants to go into Texas and compete right away and earn what he can. But I think if Quinn Ewers lights it up, that's exciting for Arch Manning, right, to come in. Because if Quinn Ewers lights it up this year, he's going to, you know, he'll be a sexy name on all those mock drafts and everything going into what could potentially be his final college season. And it says the trajectory of the Texas program is real. You know, I mean, they're recruiting well. This is a team that was 5-7 last year and really – was 4-8 away from Kansas State having their starting quarterback in that game, you know. And so Texas is still evolving on the field. I like the way they're recruiting. They recruited at a high level in the front seven on defense last year. They just go into Louisiana and land one of the best safeties in the country, Derek Williams. So they're winning the right recruiting battles. They're beating future. They're beating their SEC opponents on the trail for kids that they really want. But this is still a program that, you know, is evolving under this new staff, and we'll see where they can take it. But if Quinn Ewers has a great year, that means they probably played pretty well. So if I'm Arch Manning, I'm excited about my future. I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to compete my ass off that first year, and you know, we'll see where the chips fall with Quinn. And then when my time's up, obviously I'm going to be stepping into a stable program all of a sudden that, you know, I'll have a chance to compete. So I think, you know, I would imagine that he wants Quinn Ewers to play well, right?
I would imagine. Steve Wiltfong of 247 Sports joining us now on the Bud Light Hotline talking recruiting. All right, so you're out at the Elite 11. Jaden Rashada is going to be there. We spent a lot of time talking about this entire situation yesterday, Steve, and then he actually comes out yesterday, adds some clarity that the reports are not necessarily accurate, that he would not use monetary gains to make such a big life decision, so on and so forth. What kind of clarity can you add to just his recruitment to Florida and then to commit to Miami, where he is now, and exactly between Michael Cuspino, John Ruiz, him, Miami, Florida, the Gator Collective? What do you actually know about how this recruitment has taken place thus far?
I just know that, you know, over the his recruitment had ebbs and flows, and it looked like Miami gained some momentum down the stretch here at the end, and then was able to get him back on campus one more time, and you know, surpassed Florida and Texas A&M, among others, to land his commitment. You know, early on, it looked like Oregon was a school that was positioned well for Jaden. But as he continued through his process, you know, some other schools moved up the list. You know, obviously, I'm following along on the NIL coverage. You know, that's not something that I've really dug in on there. So I don't have any clarity on numbers. I haven't seen anything on paper of what that NIL component looked like there. I just know that talking to Jaden and talking to his dad at various points in the process that they, you know, are excited about Josh Gattis being there at Miami. And, you know, they obviously got to know Coach Cristobal well at Oregon, and now he's at Miami and trying to rejuvenate his alma mater. And it's a place where, you know, you have a chance to play early under center. You know, they have Van Dyke there, but they took a terrific high school football player in the 2022 class in Ja'Kari Brown, who had a lot of success in the state of Georgia as a dual threat kid. He's a great leader, a great athlete, very raw passer. You know, I think that there's an avenue to play early at Miami that's exciting as well. And I know they have the Garcia kid as well, but you know, I think that NIL is a component in a lot of these recruitments right now, but to what degree is up for debate, you know, and these pro college programs have to talk about it with kids, and they're all doing it in different ways. You know, there's some schools that are making sure, or there are some schools that are more focused on NIL for their current players, and then there appears to be some schools that are, you know, invested a little more in the high school workings.
When you think about the Florida Collective and the assumption based on what Rashada said, I know he's pulled it back a little bit. Have you heard anything about the issues that they might be having down there with their collective?
No, all that stuff as it was playing out live on Twitter was news to me as well. I was following it probably the same way y'all were.
All right, Steve, take us through the kind of player that Jaden Rashada is now that he's committed to go play his college football at Miami. And then just this class of quarterbacks as well. I know it's extremely deep. How many are maybe what they're being made out to be? You're out the Elite 11 now, so you're going to see a lot of them perform. How deep is this class of guys that you think could one day be impact college football starting quarterbacks?
Well, I can just answer it this way. There seem to be, you know, eight or nine guys that are being recruited by everybody. Like, you know, when you look at the top programs and who they kind of honed in on, these eight or nine guys were on those boards. Now, obviously, we'll see when they get to college how they're able to process, learn their offenses, be good leaders, make the right decisions with the football, and withstand the pressure cooker that some of them are going to be in. But from a talent standpoint, there's some terrific players in this class. And, you know, Jaden Rashada is one of the more natural throwers of the football. He's a guy that jumped on our radar before he even played a varsity down. He had to wait his turn at Pittsburgh. High out there in California, they had another young man ahead of him that went on to sign with Oregon. But Jaden shined in camp settings and 7-on-7 settings. He's just real pretty throwing the football. He's a long, lean kid that's going to need to develop physically, but just being able to make all the throws, you know, in camp and in combine settings, he's been terrific, and he had a good junior year. But you look at some of these other guys, you know, Malachi Nelson's out here from Los Alamitos. He's committed to USC, originally committed to Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. I got a chance to see Malachi at this QB Collective event. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that, but there's a lot of, you know, NFL coaches and stuff involved with that. And they came to Indianapolis two summers ago, and Caleb Williams and Nussmeier and all those guys were on the field. And Malachi Nelson threw the football as well as any of those guys that day. So he is extremely talented throwing the football. Nico Iamaleva committed to Tennessee. He maybe hasn't played the same amount of varsity snaps as some of the touted guys, but he had a strong junior year, really takes care of the football. And then athletically, he is just kind of off the charts, 6'5", 195 pounds, outstanding volleyball player, just has some explosive traits to him. I love the Dante Moore kid from Detroit King, a state champion, 40 touchdowns, just 3 interceptions as a junior, going to be a 4-year starter. I was at the game they lost last year on a Hail Mary to Carmel in Indianapolis. Dante Moore threw for over 400 yards and led what looked to be the game-winning drive with like 20 seconds left, only to have a short kick and a Hail Mary beat him. But I just love his toughness. And a guy people don't talk about enough, in my opinion, is Jackson Arnold from Denton Geyer. He's committed to Oklahoma. I know he was the number one guy on a few premier boards. He led Denton Geyer to the state title game in the Lone Star State in what I think is the toughest class of high school football in America, played against the best high school football coaching, and goes out there and throws for almost 4,000 yards and 34 touchdowns and rushes for almost 700 yards and 12 more scores. Played against an Allen defense where he got sacked like 8 times but still threw for almost 400 yards. I just love his toughness and the way he competes. And the way he leads his team. And they had Austin Westlake on the ropes in that state title game. And Austin Westlake was the best high school football team in the country. And here's Jackson Arnold and Denton Geyer giving him hell. I think that he's a great pickup for Oklahoma, and I look forward to seeing him compete in this setting against those guys. But this is an on-air setting out here at Elite 11. And here you're just trying to get a feel for the guys' personalities and their traits. But, you know, in real football, Jackson Arnold is a beast and a great leader and a great player, and so that's an exciting pickup for Brent Venables and company.
For sure. Going to be fun. Steve, great stuff as always, man. Look forward to catching up soon.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all. Have a good one.
Steve Wiltfong, 247 Sports, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. When we come back, we'll continue talking Jada Rashada next on McElroy & Kubik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy & Kubik in the morning, 8:54 a.m., Tuesday, June 28th, right here on Jocks 94.5.
Talking a little bit about Texas and their recruiting class and the protection they're now trying to get for Arch Manning. Well, if you need protection, you need to give our friends at Yellowhammer Roofing a shout, because the first line of protection for your home is the roof. Well, they'll do roof repair, they'll do roof replacement. Yellowhammer Roofing is our hometown professional team. They're licensed and insured. They're also locally owned and operated, where they're going to work and work around in the community with the people that they live with. They also own your roof for the first 5 years with that 5-year workmanship warranty. So give them a shout today, 855-217-8887, or go online at yellowhammerroofing.com.
All right, so talk some recruiting there with Steve Wiltfong. You can always catch that podcast at jocksfm.com. When we come back, we'll sort of switch over, talk some college baseball. As Ole Miss grabbed a national championship over the weekend. David DeLucci, played his college baseball at Ole Miss, was on coverage in Omaha to be able to witness it. How they do it, what does the future look like for a head coach that was on his way out right there in Oxford. Pretty cool season and how things played out and how things went. Also, next hour, Miami Ole Miss football. Who has a better season? Who do we have the most confidence in? When we look at the two schedules, look at what's coming back for those two teams. We'll get into that as well. But College World Series coming up next. We'll ask David DeLucci his thoughts on just being there, being able to watch it, being able to witness it, not just covering it for the SEC Network, but as a former player. We'll have that discussion right here next on Jocks 94.5.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.